If you bring him for him, he'll figure it out somehow. I ain't taking him out of Mark.
That's amazing, because Mark Burton's. Mark Burton.
Really? You know where you want to sit?
Yeah, he's eating all kinds of stuff.
Take a chair. That's where Jesse never sits.
Does he take any medication?
No. He was for a while in the first job. He did better than that. They called the doctors. He had to bring back.
Seems like he can't get more.
It was all hazard. So he can't refill his prescription. The VA is over the CME.
Well, that's kind of the way the hospice did Barton.
Really?
They just took her off everything. Well, she got the worst she'd take. What do we She'd chew it up.
Yeah, oh yeah, he gave him an Advil.
So now while you're in here, what if he gets up?
Jessica stays back here the whole time.
Yeah,
she watches the service actually from her tablet.
I wonder how they
actually. Yeah.
You're in there, you can't see.
It's crazy that when we first got him here, he used to sit in the back. He was quiet for off and on. He's quiet for off and on. He just got to a point where he started.
Thank you. All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church, Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study. If you would, please grab your songbooks and turn to Song 64. Song number 64, Shall We Gather at the River? Shall we gather at the river? On the first. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod? Crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own. Shall meet in sorrow never, neath the glory of the throne. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Amen. Brother Caden, would you open the service out with a word of prayer, please? Amen. Now, if you would, please go forward in your songbooks to 125. 125, The Solid Rock. On the first. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. All around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin or the song or the prayer sheet, just raise your hand and we'll pass one out to you. All right. Well, let's go through these announcements here real quick. Front page of the bulletin, weekly church service times. We've got Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath there is a list of our soul winning times. So the only time that is consistent with the location is Saturday mornings at 10:30 meeting right here. All the other times listed below, you need to contact the soul winning captain or call myself, and I will give you details about that because they meet different spots, different times as well. And we are going to add a mountain home time, and that will be on a Saturday, and it will be the first Saturday in February. So I'll have all that stuff for you when we get back. 208-391-5323 is the number to call. Praise report for January. So we're at three, right? Three? Okay. So we're at three salvations, which is three salvations year to date. So praise God for that. Back page, let's see here. New Testament Bible Reading Challenge. So if anybody needs the sheets, I think there's a couple left over here. If not, just let me know and I'll get you one. Let's see here. Look ahead, February 12th at 3 p.m. Ladies, please come join us for Melissa's baby shower. It will be a potluck, so please bring a dish to share. Birthdays and anniversaries for January. So next up is Care Bear Kara, and she's promised to sing for us this year, so we're excited about it. Either that or David's singing. Somebody is singing. Mike, get up here. Come on, man. All right, this week's memory verse is Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, which says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up an hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We are a family-integrated church. What that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, there is a daddy baby room right over here to your left, and the mother baby room is right across the hallway over there. The monitor should be all set up, and if it ever glitches out on you, you can always come back and ask Caden, and he will fix it because he fixes everything around here. All right, tithes and offerings for January are right below that. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line says, culture has women wired to be repulsed by how God wants them attired. And that was from two Sundays ago. So we are going to have one more song before we receive the offering. And raise your hand if you didn't get the handout, and I will come by and get you one.
All right, at this time we'll be singing our chorus of the month, Holy, Holy, Holy. Starting on the first.
Falling down before thee with
and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to gather here this evening. I just pray that you'd bless the service, Lord. Bless the fellowship that we have afterwards, Lord, and bless our tithes and offerings. I just pray that you'd get us home safely and help us to apply the things that we learn. We thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We'll be going through our prayer sheet. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request or a praise for us to pray on, just remember to tell one of the brothers in the church or Pastor Jones, and we'll be sure to get you on the prayer sheet. And at this time, we'll just bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things. Dear Father God, we want to come before you as a congregation to lift up our prayers and our praises to your holy name, Lord. We just want to start off by praying for the opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and co-workers. We pray for the health and safety of our church families. We pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church. We pray that you would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and space. We pray for the spiritual needs for our communities, or of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to grow. And we pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they grow up in this decaying world. We also want to pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We pray for continued medical freedom from vaccines and medical mandates. We pray for Brother Kevin's dealings with the VA to go quick and smooth. We pray for my family in California and my grandmother. We pray for safe and healthy pregnancies and deliveries for our expecting mothers. Miss Kara, Miss Melissa, and Jadine. And we pray for the health of Stan's brother. We pray for Miss Dawn. She has an unspoken prayer. You know all the details in that, Lord. We just want to pray for her, and we pray that you meet her needs, Lord. And we pray for Melissa's brother, Miguel, and niece, Sophia, to be open to the gospel. And she also has an unspoken prayer as well, Lord. And we also want to pray for Miss Melissa. She also has an unspoken prayer, Lord. We just pray that you meet all their needs, Lord. And we pray for Miss Patty's mom, for her health, and to be open to the gospel. And we also want to pray for our brother out of state, Lord. We have a prayer for Brother James, that he has an unspoken prayer for his family, Lord. We just want to pray for him and that you'd meet his needs in that. And, Lord, we also want to lift up our praises to you, Lord. Just want to praise you for the safe and healthy arrival of little brother Aiden Troop and Titus. We thank you for them, Lord. And we want to thank you for Pastor's new job situation. And we just thank you for his job being a better work environment. And we also want to pray for, we want to praise you for all of our church families and those we've been able to get saved. And we thank you, Father God, for our freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week, and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. And we want to thank you for exposing those who have come into the church to do harm. And we thank you for Brother Joe Maple's son, Joe Jr. We just thank you for watching over him, and we just thank you for all his troubles with his seizures and his bleeding, Lord. We just thank you that it all stopped, Lord. And we want to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter number 14. And when you get there, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs.
Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. What art there that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Brother Mike, will you pray first, please?
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely here to another Sunday service. Another Wednesday service.
All right. Amen. Well, today is the third part in our series that we're doing, The Order of the Snowflake. So what we've been doing is we've been explaining why we kicked an individual out of our church, and I am going to get into the story and the reason why, and kind of what started it all here in just a moment. But if you remember part one, we talked about entitlement. What does the entitlement syndrome do to us? Well, it blocks our enlightenment, right? Because when we feel entitled to things, it makes people not willing to work. Okay, and we all know that if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you have to put in some work. You have to read, you have to study, and things like that. It's kind of like, you know, if you want to eat, you want to live, right? You want to pay your bills, you want to buy nice things, you need to have a job, you need to work, you need to have some sort of income. What do we have today in society, though? We have people that just feel entitled. Well, Uncle Sam should just give me everything because I am special. And so we talked about that attitude. And the main point that I wanted to, everyone to take away from that sermon was the Bible says them that sin rebuke before all, right? And so we're not doing this to be mean, but we're doing this because it's a command. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? And if you remember the application with that, it was so that others might fear. And it's not just a fear like, oh, if I do something wrong, pastor's going to preach a sermon against me, right? That's not the intent. I've got plenty of material. I've got a calendar full of ideas, series, all sorts of things, okay? Ask the guys, ask Jessica. It is not a problem, okay? I'm not looking for people to kick out of church so that I can have a sermon to preach. Because eventually, we're not going to have a church, right? I mean, unless Jeff, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing, Jeff. Just teasing. And then last week, we talked about going on the offended. These are all things that make up a snowflake, right? A snowflake is just a term that we use to describe somebody who's easily offended, somebody who just feels entitled. And what we're going to talk about tonight, which is a snowflake is someone who can't handle other people's opinions. Okay. And so we'll get into that here in just a second. But before we do, you're in Romans chapter number 14. Look down at verse number 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Okay. We talked about this probably, 3 months ago when we did the series on Voices in My Head. And we looked at this chapter here from a conscience view. Okay. We made some application and talked about that. But we're going to look at it a little bit differently tonight. So what is a doubtful disputation? Is it a fact? Are these things that are very important? Are they foundations of the faith? No. They're, for example, one person thinks this diet's better than the other, you know, and they start getting together and arguing, okay? Now, we're supposed to receive people into the church that have different views on certain things, different opinions, okay? But we don't have to receive their opinions. Right? Like that cue ball who came in the church not too long ago, okay? The flat earther, who was a flat earther, who wasn't a flat earther, okay? We received him. We gave him a chance. We were long-suffering, okay? But all that crazy stuff he's saying about Nancy Pelosi being dead and Joe Biden being dead and all this stuff, look, we're not going to receive that. We don't have to receive that because those are opinions. Those aren't facts, okay? Now, can somebody come into this church that has a different view on prophecy? Like say somebody believes, oh, I believe the pre-trib rapture. Sure, they can, okay? That's their opinion. It's not a fact. But you have to understand with that doctrine, there will come a time where we will dispute that because it is a fact that the tribulation comes before the rapture, right? The rapture is after the tribulation. We've talked about that in great detail. We know that. So again, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The title of the sermon this evening is Don't Be a Minion About Your Opinion. Don't be a minion about your opinion. You say, what is a minion? What is that? Well, you guys know what that is, okay? It's somebody who's unimportant, right? It's kind of like almost like a derogatory term for somebody who's just a follower of a powerful person. If you've ever, you know, back in the day, whatever, you watched movies or whoever watched Inspector Gadget, right? What was the bad guys? Anybody who's an 80s child? Dr. Claw, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, Dr. Claw, right? He'd be like, I'm going to make you my minions, right? That's what he would always be saying. You know, you used to, you know, the 80s, you know, were filled with cartoons that had bad guys with that attitude, okay? And so the point is we don't want to be minions about our opinions. Why? What is an opinion, okay? We all have them, right? But an opinion is a view or a judgment not necessarily based on a fact, okay? This is what we're talking about. We ought not to fight or look down on other people because we have different opinions. Some people in here like Ford. Some people in here like Chevy. Right, Kenley? Okay? And they like to make those opinions known, jokingly, right? I don't think that our church has a problem with this, but the individual that we kicked out, he certainly did have a big problem with this. He could not take other people's opinions very well. For example, we had a family visit last summer, okay? Somehow they stumbled upon our church, stumbled upon our preaching. The guy had quit his job. He was traveling to move to another state. And he's like, you know what? I really want to stop at Shield of Faith Baptist Church and visit and kind of see what it's like and just hang out with the brothers there. You know, a very supportive guy. The guy comes from Arizona, okay? Northern Arizona. Well, the first thing that the Grand Wizard asked me is, why doesn't he go to Faithful Word? I'm like, because he works a crazy job as a firefighter, right? He doesn't always have the time. He doesn't have, you know, he has a great church that he loves. To be honest, he didn't even really know who Pastor Anderson was. Okay, he's like, I think he's a snake. I think there's something wrong with him. It's like, no, dude. The guy has no idea. He just accidentally stumbled on our church, and he's learning about all these things. He's learning about all the like-minded churches. He had no idea. He just hadn't gone down that road yet. Right? So immediately this kid takes on an opinion and tries to push it out as a fact and wants to start a disputation. Okay, this is wrong. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to give you the story about how all of this started because a lot of you are probably wondering. And if you don't come here regularly, I'm sorry that I have to preach this. It's not a very pleasant subject, but it is needful. I do have to do this. And so for those of you who don't know or who haven't heard the full story, I'm going to give you the story minus names and certain things of that nature of how this all started. So it was about a month ago now. This kid, you know, he says, hey, can I meet with you before the service? I really want to ask you something. I was like, I don't meet with people before the service. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but, you know, I'm trying to greet people. I'm trying to, you know, think about what I'm going to preach, you know, write my sermon. No, I'm just, it's not that bad, but you get the point. It's just something I don't do. I'll meet with you afterwards. I'll meet with you on another day. You can call, whatever you want, not before the service. So he's kind of like, meh. Okay, whatever. So after the service, he's like, do you still want to hear what I had to say? I was like, yeah, sure, let's go outside. He's like, well, I already changed my mind. I'm like, okay, well, let's go outside. So we go outside, and he says, hey, I already changed my mind on this, but I want permission to talk to your daughters, but I don't want permission to talk to your daughters. So what do you think my natural response was as a father? What kind of talk are we talking about here? Okay, because, I mean, everybody knows, like, if you want to play a board game with the kids, you don't have to ask permission for that. Right? If you just want to talk about the weather, talk about soul winning, talk about whatever, okay, that's not bad. You know, you don't need permission for that. And he's like, it doesn't matter because I already changed my mind. I don't want to talk to them. I'm like, so you don't even want to talk to them as friends? He's like, no. And I'm like, why? That's really weird that you would want to come to church week after week after week after week and sit like right there and not want to talk to anyone. Because that's the way that he was going. He was to the point to where he only wanted to talk to one person. Maybe two, maybe me sometimes, okay? He's like, I don't want to talk to them. And then he says this to me. He says, I know, I'm not going to mention his name, I know that when someone else plays board games in the back of the church with them, that you get mad. And I was like, oh, really? You know this? I get mad. Am I that weak to where if I had a problem, I wouldn't say something? He's just like, well, that's just kind of what I figured. I was like, no, that's what you were told. That's what someone told you. Who told you that? He wouldn't tell me. We all know who it was. We all know who that was, right? And he's like, well, I just figured. Well, you figured wrong. And he's like, it doesn't matter because I don't want to talk to them. Okay, that's still weird. And then he proceeds to tell me that he wants to talk to someone else who's 12 years old. And at this point, I already know he's on his way out. I know it's a matter of time. I don't know how. I don't know what the circumstances will be, but I know he is on his way out when he said that. And you'll see why here in a second. So he says, I want to talk to somebody else when her father comes back. I was like, okay. You know, and I started laughing inside, and I came in here, I told some of you, and I was just busting up because we all know how that's going to turn out, okay? That's not okay. And again, I did ask, well, what kind of talk are you talking about? You know she's 12.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think you did, because I got testimonies from other people in here that you did know that, but whatever. Okay, so back up. I come inside here, and, you know, we start talking and realize that he missed someone. I'm not going to name her name. So the following week, I grabbed Brother David. I said, hey, I just need you to witness this, okay? So I put David over there. I was like, hey, I know somebody who's about your age, and since you're into talking to girls all of a sudden, why didn't you bring her name up? And he goes, oh, man, that really gets somebody upset. I said, oh, really? Really? That would really get someone else upset. And if you're listening online, I apologize. I'm leaving certain details out just to protect the innocent here. But those of you who come here often know who that was. Okay, what does that imply? Well, that implies that someone, meaning his only friend in the church, was still claiming dibs on this individual. After we'd already had a discussion, after we'd already talked about this, okay? He then proceeds to blurt out this statement here, and I'm going to say it as polite as I can. He says, I don't believe that a person with a bad past should seek after a virgin. That's literally what he says. And he starts going off and throwing his friend under the bus. So what did we realize with that statement? We realized that birds of a feather flock together, okay? He confirmed his feather. That's what he did. He's wanting to talk to someone much younger, and he's got his own issues, okay? And it also confirmed, number two, that an adult, which is his friend, is discussing things that should not be discussed with a minor. You see that? And then basically what happened after that is I left to go get lunch, and he got hammered for about half hour, 45 minutes back here. Caden was just laughing. And he proceeds to leave the church and tell his friend everything that had happened and everything that we'd said. And the next thing you know, they both tell me separately that they want to commit suicide. And I'm just like, wow, what a day. And so church is over that night. Don't hear from either one of them till Saturday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning, where he starts to blow me up with all of these messages about how our church is ungodly. We have relational issues. It was just attack after attack after attack. And of course, I've already told you what he said about my girls, which upset me. And so we kicked him out of the church. Okay. But almost everything that he had said in these messages were opinions. They were his opinions. They were not facts. Why did he say our church struggles with relationships? Why do you think he said that? Because we spent a lot of time last summer talking about relationships, right? That's why he said that. Because he was offended. Because he's a snowflake and he's a devil. That's why. Okay, that's something that devils do. And I told you guys this last week. Normal people just don't get kicked out of church. I don't know why people think that they can come inside of this church and get away with all sorts of garbage and backbiting and talking trash. I don't see why people think that they can get away with it. Not that I want them to go to our friends' churches or, you know, a larger church. I'm not saying that. But I just find it odd that people, you know, what have we, almost 3 years now we've been a church, right? And we've given the boot or ran out over 25 people at this point. I guess that's just this area. I don't know. I guess that's just how it is. So in a nutshell, that is basically what happened. Hopefully that provides some closure, because next week we're going to be talking about something different. So with that being said, look down at verse number 2. Okay, so don't be a minion about your opinion. Okay, let's learn from the Bible how we should act one towards another when it comes to opinions. Look at verse number 2. It says, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." So again, what are we talking about here? We're not just talking about diet. We're not just talking about somebody who's a vegan or someone who just eats herbs. We're talking about non-essential things here, okay? Somebody who likes one brand of something versus somebody who likes another brand. One person who follows keto, one person follows the carnivore diet, one person follows a high-carb diet or whatever you want. Well, look, we ought not to be fighting about those types of things in church, okay? We can have friendly discussions. And those of you who grew up like with me, you know, like in the 80s and 90s, you probably know, or even, you know, prior to that, it used to be like where you could talk to somebody who was even a Democrat and you could hash it out and argue and still be friends. Now, in today's day and age, these people want to cancel you, if not kill you. Right? That was his mentality. And look, you say you're upset. Yeah, of course I'm upset. Everybody in here should be upset. Everybody in here, in some degree, has made some sort of sacrifice for this church. You've sacrificed your time, your earnings, your prayers. I mean, all these different things to be a part of this church. Some of you have given up everything to move here. Look, of course we're going to be mad when someone talks about our church and lies and rails and slanders against our church. It's not right, and it has to be dealt with. Especially when you boil everything down that kid believes to nothing more than opinions, which a lot of them, I believe, came from someone else. Look, it's a wicked thing for an adult. Look, raise your hand. What father in here would not get upset if a 20-something-year-old person was talking about his past with a minor? What mother wouldn't flip out in here? What single person in here wouldn't flip out? It's not right. And it just shows that there's something seriously wrong with those people. So again, back to verse number 2. We got to get going with the study here. "For one believeth that he may eateth all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." And you know what? That just kind of gives you, you know, the vegan diet right there in a nutshell. You know, it makes you weak. It destroys your brain, right? You ought not to be a vegan. But do we receive people that have that diet into the church? Of course. We used to have one that came here. You know, we talked to him last week. He's still vegan, right? He's not an enemy of the church. He's just weak, right? And, you know, it was that weakness, honestly, that led him out, because he couldn't take correction. He just turned into this type of person that could not take rebuke, could not take instruction, could not take correction, and it ultimately wound up him leaving the church. So just keep that in mind. "For one believeth that he may eateth all things, another who is weak eateth herbs," okay? So let's take a look here. Look at verse number 3. It says, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." So again, in this verse here, there are two things here. There are two very, very important things that we need to pay attention to when we fall into this trap, when we start looking at other people and saying, you know what, I'm just not going to get that close to you. I'm just not going to invest that much time into you. I'm just not going to be your friend because you're not exactly like I am. Who here went to public school? Probably a lot of people. And that's exactly what it was like. If you don't have the Reeboks, if you don't have the Nike Airs, if you don't have this type of, you know, jacket or whatever it was, you know, we're not going to be friends. At least that's how it was where I went to school. That's how it is out here. The place where I work, if you're not a drunken, filthy, loudmouth, just cluck, guess what? They don't want to be your friend. If you're not like them on every single aspect, they don't want to be your friend. Now, I'm not exactly at work to make friends, you know, especially when people find out what we're all about. That usually takes care of the job itself. I don't really need to do any more than just tell them the church name. They go look it up, and then they don't want to talk to me anymore. But you know how that goes, okay? So let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So what are these two things here that we have to be careful of, these two traps that we fall into when we don't receive somebody with a different opinion? Well, we despise that person and we judge that person. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Is it wrong to despise anything? No, of course not. There are things that we need to despise. Is it wrong to make judgment? No. The Bible says that the spiritual judgeth all things. Jesus said that we are to judge righteous judgment, okay? But you know what? We ought not to judge each other over simple things like opinions. Not everyone in here is going to be the same on everything, right? There are certain verses in here that we all have different opinions on. Okay, and there are some opinions that we have that will never become facts until we get into eternity because we simply don't know. Look, there are a lot of conspiracies out there, and we have different ideas and different opinions on how these things are going to play out. But what are the facts that we have? Well, for one, the Bible says that rich men oppress us, so we know that. But exactly how they carry that out, right, could be different from day to day, and God's always thwarting their plans and changing things. So we ought not to fight about those things, and I don't think that we have that problem. Minus the one guy who came in here the last couple weeks. He wanted to fight about those things, didn't he? Right? And that's a problem. That's a sin. To come into this church, especially after being here for one service, and to look back there at that kid behind the camera and say, you know what? The book of Enoch should be in the Bible. You're in the wrong church. This is not the church for you. Look, he wanted to talk to me inside of this office here, right? And all he did for almost an hour was give me opinion after opinion after opinion. Tried to bring the conversation back to salvation, back to the King James Bible. Hey, do you want a King James? Yeah, I go get him one. Oh, there's no commentary in it. How am I supposed to understand it? What does that say? He's not saved. Is that my opinion? No, it's a fact. Someone who cannot understand the Word of God is not saved. We've taken many, many services and proved that beyond the shadow of a doubt. But while we're on this subject here, is it wrong to despise? Is it wrong to dispute? Is it wrong to judge? You guys already know the answer to that. And the answer is no, right? We are called to contend for the faith and to do that earnestly, the Bible says. But let's take a look at a story here in Acts chapter 15 of a great disputation. So let's look at verse number 1. It says this. It says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." So who here thinks that's worthy to dispute? Who thinks that's worthy to judge? All of us do, right? Look at verse number 2. It says this, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension," and don't miss that, "disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now, you got to give some grace here in this time period because the veil had just recently been rent in half, been torn, right? The nation of Israel, if you were, was taken from the physical Jew and put upon the spiritual Jew, Romans chapter number 2. And so there's still a lot of religious things going on, a lot of religious teachings and things of that nature. They didn't have the completed Bible yet. And so they're trying to figure things out. And so these two guys come down and they start teaching that you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the law or you can't be saved. How does that work for the females? That's the question that I always ask, right? How does that work for the females then? Can they not be saved? That's a good question, right? Because there are today people that teach that as a doctrine. Sounds like it's coming from somebody who hates women, which was the individual that we kicked out of this church. Okay. Oh, by the way, something that I did forget to mention when I was talking, let me break here, give you a little commercial break. So when the wizard back there made his comment where he said, I don't believe somebody with a horrible past should go seek a virgin. I agree. I believe that people should be equally yoked. And if you come to me and want to get married, you know, we're going to have that discussion. You can do whatever you want. We're not going to kick you out of church, but I'm going to give you some counsel and give you some warnings about that. Okay, and I told him that. And then all of a sudden when he emails me in the middle of the night later that week, he was just like, you can't prove that from the Bible. I don't think that's in the Bible, and I don't think that should be taught. I can prove that wisdom from the Bible. Is it wise? I'm talking with somebody like with a Samson past, using prostitutes, for example. You don't think that someone who's kept themselves pure doesn't need to know that? I think that Jesus Christ would take my side over that. And by the way, while I'm off on this wild rabbit trail, let me just say this. What's wrong with somebody that wants to seek that? So, back to our story here. Verse number 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation. So right away when they hear this teaching, what do? They dispute it, okay? They start to set the record straight. So why am I reading this? Because there are things that we need to fight about. There are things that we need to contend for. There are things that we need to make judgments on. And the foundations of the faith are those things, okay? But when someone has an opinion about something, or they're not like you, or maybe they do child rearing a little bit differently, or maybe they cook dinner a little bit differently, or maybe the kids divide the chores differently, we should not fight over these things. Sometimes I'll preach things, you know, don't ever take it like, oh, well, if he that's what he does with his kids, and that's what I have to do. No, my family's different. My life experiences are different. Your life experiences are different, right? I'm not interested in us just trying to, like, live our lives from one single template from a human being. No, we always go to this book, and we have to read this book and glean this wisdom and apply it to our lives so that we can help our own selves out, because we all have different paths. We all have different things that are going on and different problems. So let's continue on with the story here. Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. You know, in the context of what we're talking about here, about disputing, about having dissension, about correction, okay, about teaching right doctrine, it's always a good idea to come up to somebody that you want to maybe correct, or maybe, depending on the severity of the situation, but somebody that you want to have a difficult conversation with and kind of break the ice with some good news, you know, if you have it, something positive, okay, to let that person know that you're not there to just bash them and to just point the finger and to look down. And that's exactly what these guys are doing, because what's important here? Souls, souls being saved, souls being converted, okay? And obviously they're going to have this battle about that very thing, but they decide to do a very wise thing here and bring up some good news. So look at verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So again, this early church here in Jerusalem, false doctrine already creeping in, things already needing to be ironed out. Verse number 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Verse 7, and when there had been much, what? Disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Verse 8, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Okay, what is he doing here? He's letting them know, hey, God is not a respecter of persons. Okay, but in the midst of this issue here, this great disputation, the point gets across. Okay? We have to be like this. We have to be able to control our emotions when we are teaching other people doctrine, when we are telling them, hey, what you're saying is wrong. Okay? If you're going to have a dispute, as you're going to see here in a moment, we want to have the facts. We want those facts readily available at the forefront of our mind with sources confirming and all of that. And that's exactly what Peter's doing here. Verse 9 says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And then the issue is over. The truth prevails. The truth always prevails. But it's a lot easier to have that happen when you have tact, when you can talk to somebody tactfully. Okay. Now, this is about an issue that needs to be disputed, that needs to be brought up, that needs to be corrected. Okay, you can avoid a lot of this stuff, though, when you just take people for who they are. They have different opinions about different things. Don't get so wrapped up in thinking that everybody has to be exactly like us. Okay, because that just causes issues. It causes trouble. So go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 14, and we'll keep moving. And let's answer this question now. What is the church's role in dealing with people that cannot get along in this manner? Okay. What is our responsibility in dealing with people that have different opinions and so on and so forth? Well, again, look at verse number 3. It says this, let not him that eateth despise. Okay. So let's take two people, for example, okay, that have differing opinions about something. Let's go back to the diet thing because it's the easiest to pull up. One person's vegan, another person's vegetarian. Okay, because I guess there's a difference. I'm not too up on that, but I guess. And let's say there's a third person, okay, who just eats three meals a day, balanced, and is like, hey, this is the way to go. I've got all this stuff here. I've got all these facts, okay? What is his job, knowing that he's right? Knowing this, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to allow those two people to feel safe and to feel comfortable in the house of God. Change the subject, if you will, if you have to. If you're that type of person where you're just like, I got to double dutch myself in there. I've just got to come at you with every little thing, right? Every little opinion. No, you're wrong on this. You're wrong on the car. You're wrong on airbags. You're wrong on tires. You're wrong on mud tires. And it's just all the time. It's your opinions. Got to be out there, okay? You have a problem. And you need to work on it because it says to let. It says to receive them. Now, here's the thing. Not to doubtful disputations. So we're to receive people with different opinions and different issues, different preferences, but we don't have to change our views to placate them. We don't have to change our views just to please them. That's what the world is trying to make us feel like we are. That you have to change your opinion on the queers. No, we don't, because we have the facts in the Word of God that they are not welcome in church. Right? And we're not changing on that. We're not backing down. It doesn't matter how many emails, how many phone calls, how many threats. It doesn't matter. We're not changing. That's not my opinion. That is a fact. That is how it is. And we're not going to receive people like that into the church. Because that is harmful. Go read Jude. Go read Genesis chapter 19. Go read Judges chapter 19. Go read about the kings. And go read all of those things, and you should come to the same conclusion. And if you don't, you have an agenda. So let's move on here. The church is commanded not to tolerate this type of behavior, is what I'm saying. So when people, let's say those three get together, right? You got the vegan, you got the vegetarian, and the guy who eats three meals a day. And they just start fighting and arguing, and it's getting heated. Okay, we are not to put up with that. It doesn't matter in that situation who's right. Right? The fighting has to stop. If we're going to fight, let's fight about things that matter, like the Trinity. Amen. Like the spherical earth. Let's fight about that, okay? Because that's one that just keeps popping up. I thought that this was like repellent. I thought that this was like repellent against flat earthers. The flat earth doctrine attacks salvation, you know that? Because how do you get north and south in a flat earth? And our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. And we talk about that all the time. So anyways, I'm getting off here. Okay, what about this? The Bible is the preserved word of God. Is that worth fighting about? Absolutely. What about Jesus Christ being the word of God? You cannot separate the word of God from the word of God. So when people come in here with a different opinion, of course, we're going to be long-suffering. We're going to try to talk with them. You know, long-suffering as maybe a day, maybe a service or two. That's about as long-suffering as I'm going to get with that. But nonetheless, we should try to help them and try to teach them. Or what about this? Jesus was fully man, fully God. Do you think that's worth fighting about? Disputing about? Of course. Of course these things are important. These are foundations. These are fundamentals of the faith that we are commanded to dispute about. Okay? But extra things like diets, different techniques for child rearing or cooking or how you run your household. Okay? Learn to share those things in a tactful, meaningful way and be ready to give answers why you do those things. Because look, all of us have different homes, we have different circumstances, and so we're going to naturally do things differently. And always beware of people that are just constantly trying to pull you into that one single template because they're trying to control you. And we don't need that. It doesn't serve the Word of God. It doesn't serve the church. It only harms and causes more strife and more problems and more issues that we don't need. So let's answer this next question. How should we hold our own opinions? How should we hold them? We'll look down at verse number 5. Romans 14, verse 5 says this: one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be, don't miss this, fully persuaded in his own mind. Fully persuaded in his own mind. What does that mean? It means if you've got an opinion about something, you need to be working towards making that a fact. Always researching, always having, like I said earlier, the facts readily available. Not so that you can win an argument, not so that you could just be right, but so that you can explain why you do things the way that you do them. You would be surprised at how many churches have this issue where a lot of people, where there will be cliques, and we'll deal with this at some point. You know, as the church grows in number, you will start to see oftentimes that, you know, cliques start to form and sermons like this will have to be preached. That is not the case here right now. We've got rid of our leaven and right now we're in a time of rest. Okay, but you know what? You know how that goes for our church. Okay, probably this Sunday. So get ready because it's coming. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know where they're going to come from, but they will show up. It's just part of doing business. Okay, look. If I was the devil, I would try to mess with this church too in any way that I could. I would try to wear out the saints. And we're not going to let them do that. So again, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. So you got one guy who's like, okay, I'm going to celebrate this holiday here. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to do whatever. Okay, and these people over here are like, hey, every day is the same. Whatever. Let them hold their opinions to themselves, or at least be fully persuaded in their minds why they believe the way that they do, and be able to talk about it in a reasonable, calm manner. And what always helps that is having facts. You have to have the facts. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. And like I said earlier, you know, some opinions that we have, obviously, we're going to have to wait. We've all got different opinions on exactly how 9/11 went down, how, you know, JFK was assassinated, or exactly why. And, you know, nobody in here ever fights about those. It's just the cue balls that come in here from time to time. But, you know, let's make sure we don't get to that point, okay? Because we can't prove any of it at all. Even if you were alive back then, you know, were you there? Did you witness the event? No, you didn't, okay? But we can prove the things in the Word of God. So let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Why? Because this gives you peace. This gives you that confidence you need to hold your opinions. I have things that, you know, some of my own friends are like, I can't believe you do that. That's crazy, you know. But I'm fully persuaded in my mind, and it always makes the conversation profitable. You know, turns into a joke, or it turns into a funny thing. You know, you do things the way you want to do them, I'll do things the way I want to do them. Proverbs 14, look at verse number 15. And here's another reason why. Why we need to be fully persuaded in our minds and be a church that is geared towards finding facts. Look at verse 15. The simple believeth every word. We talked about this Sunday night. The simple. What is the simple? Someone who lacks wisdom, okay? Somebody who is not very wise. And what do they do? What is one thing that they are prone to doing? Believing everything. We've all seen people like this. Maybe some of us have been there. Look, when I was younger, this was me. The simple believeth every word. Why do the simple believe every word? Because they're never fully persuaded in their own minds about anything. They have failed to do the hard work and to research facts. That is why. Look at what the rest of the verse says. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. This should be us. And I think this is us. Look at verse number 18. It says this. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And what's one of the ways that we get that knowledge? By fearing God. The fear of the Lord bringeth wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord bringeth knowledge. Okay? Turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. So the simple inherit folly. What is that? That's foolery. It's trouble. It's unnecessary trials and tribulation. That's what the simple inherit. And we don't want to be like that. We want to be a people that is constantly fact-finding. We want to be like the Bereans, who were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Right? We want to be like them and always going to see what the Word of God has to say. You know, at the place where I work, a lot of times they'll come by and be like, hey, just put this wire here and do this. I do electrical work on large chillers and refrigeration units. And the first thing I always do is, where's the document that tells me where that goes? You don't need it. Just, I know, but I would really just like to see it. That's how you need to be at your job. You need to always be looking for the reason why we do what we do. That, you know, because that mentality, oh, just put this wire here, that's how people get shocked. That's how people lose their limbs. That's how people die. That's how mistakes are made. That's how mistakes are passed down from one job to another, one generation to another, is because simplicity begins to dominate the culture. And we don't want to be like that. Because that's what we're being told out here. You don't need to see that. We need to dumb everything down, right? That's why we need all these Bible versions here. Right. And that's why they, quote unquote, hid the originals. You have to go to the pastor to get what the Bible really says. It's stupid. It's folly. That's what it is. We don't want to be like that. We want to see what the governing document has to say. And then, of course, the engineer will come by and be like, "Hey, here's, you know, it's really glad that he said this to me the other day. He said, I'm really glad that you asked for this. You know, can you read a schematic? Can you read a wiring diagram?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, that's really neat. I don't think half these guys can read in here." Just like, okay. Anyway, so that's where we're at in today's day and age. Okay. But getting back to what I'm saying, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. When you think two or three steps ahead of where you're at and what you're doing, it brings knowledge, right? How is this church going to grow? How are we going to reach more people? Not by just believing everything that everyone says who comes in here. If we were like that, we'd be done by now. And you know who experienced that? The cue ball who came in here not too long ago, didn't he? You came into the wrong church to come in here. Because what was it, like two or three different times you come in here? Hey, this and this is in the Bible. I said, no, it's not. The fourth dimension is in the Bible. Or whatever it was. I don't remember. Aliens are the shadow reality is in the Bible. It says shadow reality. No, it doesn't. Facepalm. You can't come into this church and say stuff like that because we know the Bible. We actually read it. This is how we get our truth. Being fully persuaded in our minds. That's what I'm trying to get across. Okay, so real quickly, look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 8. It says this. It says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Look at verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." How do we cleave to that which is good if we don't have the Word of God today? If it's buried in a desert, or if I need to go to a commentator, or I need to go to a scholar, or to somebody who supposedly speaks Greek. I'm at the point now where I speak more Greek than these faux scholars around here. And I'm just waiting for the next one. I've been praying, send me one of these faux scholars. It's funny, I start learning this language and now I can't. No, they all hid. What's going on with that? Anyways, look at verse number 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor perfecting one another. Again, this all points back to Sunday nights. Okay, this attitude, this mentality right here is what keeps us in fellowship with Christ. If you can't fellowship with the brethren, you're not in fellowship with Christ. Have you lost your salvation? No. But you know what? He's standing at the door knocking, wanting that relationship, wanting that fellowship so that we can grow, so that we can be profitable for him. Go to Romans chapter number 15. So again, how should we hold our opinions? Well, number one, to ourselves. Okay. Number two, with tact. Always abounding to be fully persuaded in our own minds with our opinions, okay? Because when you get the facts, you get the confidence. And that confidence breeds love because you know why you do what you do. You know why you believe what you believe. You're not worried about what anybody else is thinking about you. Look, if you live your life worried about what other people think about you, your life will be in ruins, I promise you. It is a huge pitfall. Romans chapter number 15. So this begs the question, how should we be then? Look at verse number 1. So right after this teaching that we just read in Romans 14, Paul says this. We then that are what? Strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So look, we did that with our vegan friend. Okay, we put up with it. We were loving towards him. But it just got to a point in time where we could start to see a cognitive decline in this individual. And we had to tell him, hey, you're starting to act out. And I think it's your diet. You're lacking a lot of nutrients. There's something going on. And you need to be careful with that. Okay. And so with that being said, he says this. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Someone who is unstable when it comes to dealing with people with other people's opinions, they're weak, right? We're not going to just kick them out of the church right away. No, we want to help them grow. We want to mature them. And how do we do that? Being fully persuaded in our mind, right? Hopefully just putting the thing aside and going right back to the foundations here, the fundamentals of the faith, so that we can edify one another, okay? So we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. This is very important application here for how to get along with other people. When you have a giving heart, I'm not talking about your wallets, so don't send me any more death threats, all right? So I'm talking about with just your personality, right? Just loving the brethren. Hey, how's it going? Taking a genuine, honest approach to other people. Okay, when you do that, you are maturing as a person, but you're also doing that to Christ. And you are showing other people, you're showing God, and you're showing yourself, you know what? You're a mature person that can handle the weak. You can take care of them. You know, even if they come at you with, hey, you know, you shouldn't have bought that Chevy Tahoe. Mike, you shouldn't have got that Ford. It sucks. Right? And instead of Mike, you know, just blasting them. Actually, it's probably me that does that. No, I'm just kidding. You know, you love that person, right? And you just change the subject or just ask questions. Put it aside. What are you doing when you do that? You're bearing the weak. You're bearing the infirmities of the weak. Look at verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. What are the two main missions? What is the twofold mission of the local New Testament church? To evangelize and to edify, right? That's what everything should always point back to, one of those two things. Now, I have to stop here and give a little bit of a disclaimer. What does it say? Let every one of us please his neighbor, okay? And so this is where the world steps in and says, hey, that view that you have that's against culture today, against the alphabet people, you need to drop that. Oh, no, we don't. Because who is my neighbor? Who is the neighbor mentioned here? Go back to chapter 14 and look at verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Who is that? Right, your brother. And he's interchanging that word neighbor there. He's talking about the body of Christ. Now, does that mean we should go out and just offend the world just because? No, of course not. We had somebody in here. Actually, the guy who got kicked out used to do that. He used to go down to the park in Cuna and start calling women whores and skanks to their face. His friend's dad came to me. He's like, he's going to get shot. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I think hopefully he stopped doing that because that is just not wise whatsoever. But let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So when you can just put that emotion aside when someone has that different opinion, or even if they're being a little overbearing about it, and just give them some time, you know what? You are edifying that person. You are helping that person to grow. That is why we are a church. That is why we meet. That is what Christ wants for us. So back to chapter number 14. We're almost done. I'm getting ready to wrap this up here. I just want to give you some application here, just about five different things that we can take away and do to one another. And number one is this: allow others to have their views. Allow others to have their preferences. Okay? If you know for a fact that yours is better, that's great. You don't have to force that on the other person, okay? Because that is not profitable. Look at verse 1 again. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. We are commanded to receive that person. A person who just cannot contain themselves. But you have to buy this drug. But you have to take this vitamin. It's like, okay, just relax, okay? We're going to receive that person, aren't we? We're going to receive that person. But at the same time, we're not going to receive their doubtful disputation. We don't have to. You do not have to change your mind. You do not have to placate that person, but you can do that tactfully. You can still do that in a way that edifies that individual. Okay, so number one, allow others to have their opinions. Number two, learn from the views of others. Ask questions. This is something that will disarm you. Because look, we all have the old man, right? And sometimes when you're talking about opinions, I don't care how strong you are in the faith, you're going to get that bubbling in your stomach. It starts about right here, and it comes up, and it kind of spreads out into your arms, and you know that's your blood boiling, okay? How do you bring that down? Ask questions. Because what this does is it brings that blood level back down to where it should be, okay? That's what it'll do. But also, it shows that you're taking an interest in the other person. Go read the book, How to Win and Influence Friends, okay? One of the things that that book will teach you is that if you want to be, you want to make friends, you want to win influence, one of the ways you can do that is by asking people about themselves, because we all love to talk about ourselves, okay? So number two, learn from the views of others. Just ask questions, and that's going to help you. And obviously, if we're dealing with something that is bad, a fundamental issue, you know, you definitely want to ask questions, but you want to go right into the correction. Okay. You want to do that, and you want to do it tactfully. Okay, number three. We need to do our homework, like I said, and we need to make sure that we are constantly finding information and facts about what we believe. Again, this is review. Why? Why do that? Starts with a C. Confidence. It's going to give you that confidence. We are commanded to be fully persuaded in our minds regarding things that we believe, okay? Turn to Acts chapter number 17. Again, we are almost done. Acts chapter number 17. And look at verse number 10. I already mentioned this, but let's read it anyways. Acts chapter 17, verse 10, it says this, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they reviewed the word of God with what? All readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Obviously, this is the goal of our church. We should all be doing this, okay? But take that point, take that application, take that principle, and do it for other things as well. That way you can be fully persuaded in your mind on why you believe the way that you do. Look at verse number 12. "Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few." So what happens when we become fully persuaded about what we believe? It makes you confident, it makes you a better teacher, and it makes you an edifier, and it makes you mature. Okay, back to Romans 14. And we are almost done. So number four would be test every view by the Word of God and test everything, every opinion that you can against the facts that are available out there, the resources that are available out there. Look at verse number six. This is number five. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. What does that mean? It's a mouthful, isn't it? It means that both people are saved, and we serve the same master. And we ought to treat each other as God's children. Look at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. It really helps when you remember that, especially when you're in a heated discussion with somebody who is saved, or even not saved, right? We don't want to miss an opportunity to get someone saved by offending them, okay? So we need to remember that we are the Lord's, and we need to have respect one towards another. Jump down to verse number 22. Paul says this, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. What he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Why read this here? Well, if you remember, we read the chapter before the service. Okay, this is dealing largely with the conscience. Okay, so the person who comes in here and says, if I don't eat this vegan diet, and they're fully persuaded in their minds, but they're weak, like Paul said. Okay, let's just take that individual for a second. They come in here, they have that view, they adopt that, and they violate that. Let's say, I don't know, weakness gets to them, and they eat a steak, right? We have the buffet back here, and they eat some meat. You know what? They're violating their own conscience. And so what Paul is saying is, hey, even though this person's weak, I don't have to receive his doubtful disputation, but I need to receive him, and I need to conduct myself in a way that doesn't cause him to stumble, that doesn't cause him to violate his conscience. Because look, there are certain liberties out there that we can take that could cause other people to stumble. One that I dealt with recently, okay, two individuals, they don't go here. You guys probably don't know who they are, but one believes they can play Tetris, Mario Kart, and whatever. Another person in this person's family believes that it's all wickedness and whatever. Okay, they can't prove that from the Bible. This person's actually on the verge of saying that all board games and chess and all that stuff is bad. It's satanic. Now we've got a problem, don't we? Both people are saved. Who's weak in that situation? The guy who's everything's satanic, right? That person needs to learn. Okay? But we still have to receive that person. So how do we help that person grow? By not going like this. You're an idiot. You're stupid. You're dumb. Right out of the gate. Okay? We need to be fully persuaded in our minds. So you need to be going to the Word of God. And that's what I told this other person. You need to be going to the Word of God. Here's a good place to start. Now, obviously, there are tons of games out there that we shouldn't be playing. That everybody knows that. Okay? But to say that Tetris is satanic, I mean, come on. Okay? But here's the deal. What if this guy just sets up shop right in front of him? Like, oh, look, I'm playing Mario Brothers. You know what I mean? You're going to cause that person to stumble. Right? So what is Paul saying? Don't be like that. Just because you have that liberty, just because you know that you're right, don't flaunt it, because you're going to hurt that person. And when you wound his conscience, you wound Christ. Go over to chapter 15 again, and we're just about done. Look at verse number 3. It says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. We should be like-minded on the foundations of the faith. We should be like-minded on the edification process, right? And we should receive each other, receive new people that come in here, but not to those doubtful disputations. Okay? But there's a right way to deal with it, right? Not just coming right at them with the insults. You want to have some tact, and you want to be able to explain to that person the error of their ways. Verse 6, that ye may be with one mind, and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, last verse. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So again, we need to be people that puts up with other people, even though we have different opinions. The individual that we kicked out of here, he couldn't do that. You know, and then he's got this guy on our Bible Way to Heaven video saying that we really blew an opportunity to help a youth. Excuse me? We spent 8 months, and every person inside of this church had tried to help that individual out. I have messages of me trying to help that individual out. All of you did. It's not our fault. It was his fault, and he's the one that's going to have to pay. And if he's really saved, you know what? He should be going through some chastisement here real soon for what he has done to this body of local Bible-believing Christians. And so I want to leave you with just one more thought here. Okay, let's say this is something you struggle with, because we all do struggle with this from time to time, at work, in the family, whatever. What would it look like if you adopted this mentality and you started to say, you know what, I am going to suppress that emotion to lash out over something that doesn't even matter at the end of the day? Does the diet thing matter at the end of the day? Does Ford Chevy matter at the end of the day? Does your workout program matter at the end of the day? Does your holiday matter at the end of the day? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. So what would it look like for you if you adopted this tactful approach to someone that you always have that beef with? Think about it. I think you know what will happen. Okay, that relationship is going to improve. It's going to get better. And you will be helping a brother or sister in Christ out to grow. Look, the more we grow spiritually, the more we grow numerically, and the more people out there we get saved. And that's what we're after. We are after those souls. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again for this truth. And we just thank you, Lord, for manifesting everything that's been going on in our church. And just pray that we, you would continue to take care of us. And we thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, please grab your songbooks one more time this evening. And turn to song 63. Song number 63, What a Day That Will Be. Start on the first. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more tears in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day. Glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you close the service out in a word of prayer, please?
Safe the remainder of the week, Lord. Bless the services this weekend. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.